open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity to meet together, to encourage one another by our fellowship, by our love for your word, our love for you most of all, and our desire to learn what you have for us tonight from your word. I pray, Father, that you would guide and direct us as we open your word. I pray that then as we take time to pray, that you will be with us in that and that you will hear our prayer and answer it according to your will for your glory. Pray for those who could not be with us personally. I pray that you would just encourage their hearts, especially those who could not even connect with us on Zoom. I pray, Father, that you would encourage them and draw them close to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. By the way, could you let me know whether you could hear the music okay? Okay, good, because I think I figured out what button to press. More complicated, but I think I figured it out. All right. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and we're going to focus on verse 25. We're also going to be looking at another passage of Scripture. I'll ask you to turn to that. It'll be 2 Peter chapter 1. So just those two passages, basically, that we'll be looking at this evening, kind of briefly. John Newton, the author of the hymn Amazing Grace, wrote the line, "I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." I'm sure the last part of that line was inspired by our scripture text for this evening, John chapter 9, verse 25. "He then answered," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "answered, whether he is a sin..." No, sorry. No. It's the blind man. Okay. The he is the blind man. We've got to make sure we know who we're talking about here. All right. "So he," the blind man, "then answered, whether he," Christ, "is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." You have to go and look at the whole context of that passage, but basically, the Lord Jesus had just healed a blind man. And of course, the Pharisees were upset about this, and they tried to accuse the Lord Jesus of being a sinner and just all sorts of nasty things. But the blind man said, "One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." The Lord Jesus often preached messages that were occasioned by his current location or by something that was happening at the moment close by. You remember the Sermon on the Mount. You know, you could see that he was looking off and seeing this, and he's looking over there and seeing that, and that just spurred all sorts of illustrations of spiritual truth. So the impact of those messages was greater because of the illustrative power of the scene or event that everyone could see. For this reason, the Lord drew my attention to this passage that reminded me of the physical experience that I went through 10 years ago, perhaps not as dramatically as the former blind man in John chapter 9. After all, suffering from extreme myopia and extreme astigmatism is not as bad as being actually blind. However, I can relate to a great extent with what this man was going through in this passage in John. And I hope you can relate in a vicarious way, as some of you prayed for and saw your pastor receive his sight, in a sense, 10 years ago. How many remember that? 2016, March. Okay. Some of you remember that in March of 2016, I had cataract surgery on both of my eyes, two separate surgeries. Was it three? Because they had to go back and fix something they messed up? Yeah, well, yeah. There's something about me that doctors just love to do surgeries on me. I don't know. Anyway, my myopia and astigmatism was so severe that the eye surgeon recommended that that after taking my natural lenses out of my eyeballs, I could have him replace them with artificial lenses. That would correct my vision. Well, that sounded good to me. as you can imagine. I had up to that point worn glasses since I was in grade school, and then contact lenses when I turned 16. I think I was about that age. 17, sorry. Before my cataract surgery, I was basically blind when I woke up until I went into the bathroom and put in my contact lenses. Fortunately, I wasn't totally blind. I could, you know, grope my way to the bathroom and keep from hitting my head on doors and so forth. So this man mentioned in John chapter 9 was born blind. He was not able to see at all, and in fact had never been able to see. In a spiritual sense, this is the case with every human being, which in fact was the point John Newton brought out in that phrase of his hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was blind. Spiritually speaking, I too was once lost and blind. This applied to me physically as well, since my sight was impaired greatly. Notice that even though this man was born blind, the Lord Jesus healed this blind man instantly and completely. Not like the surgeon who did my cataract surgery, where, oops, messed up, didn't quite do it right, had to go back in and so forth, and now I have glaucoma. But when Jesus does it, he does it perfectly, completely, and instantly in this case. This man in John 9 received not only his physical sight, but more importantly, he received his spiritual sight. He saw the Lord Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God. I too received my spiritual sight when I saw myself clearly as a sinner and repented and trusted Christ as my Savior many years ago as a 7-year-old boy. Even though I received my increased physical sight 52 years later, the contrast from before still thrills my heart, as it illustrates what God did for me spiritually when I trusted Christ as Savior. But wait, there's a further application to this illustration. In fact, this is actually much closer to my personal physical eyesight situation than that of this blind man in John chapter 9. And you will relate to this as well. Would you turn in your Bible now to 2 Peter chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1, and follow along as I read aloud for us verses 5 through 9. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And that's the agape love, that selfless, sacrificial love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is, what's the next word? Blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. You may or may not be aware that the word translated short-sighted here in verse 9 is the Greek word from which we get our English word myopia and myopic, meaning nearsightedness or nearsighted, depending whether it's a verb or a noun. I can relate to this even more than the rest of you, perhaps, because I suffered with extreme myopia prior to my cataract surgeries. But this passage is using physical myopia to illustrate a spiritual nearsightedness or vision impairment. Just as extreme physical myopia will make it very difficult, if not impossible, to do the simplest tasks like shaving, if you're a man, or applying makeup, if you're a woman, much less tasks that require a keen eye or clear sight like driving, so spiritual myopia also will hinder you from carrying out the simplest spiritual activities like prayer and Bible reading. How much more will it hinder your engaging in soul winning and teaching others from the Word of God? So what causes this spiritual myopia? Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, that after listing all the spiritual qualities that we are to nurture in our lives, we are told that if we don't consistently nurture these qualities, we will become spiritually myopic to the point that we eventually doubt our salvation. Now that is a serious condition indeed. So what is the preventative or cure for this spiritual myopia? Well, if neglecting these spiritual qualities causes it, then the cure is logically to consistently nurture these qualities. Does that make sense? For several days after those two cataract surgeries, three surgeries, I guess it was, I woke up in the morning rejoicing in being able to instantly see clearly everything in my bedroom just by opening my eyes. It was like amazing. Instead of having to grope my way to the bathroom and put my contacts in my eyes to be able to see, to shave and comb my hair. What a blessing. I had hair back then. Anyway, what a blessing it still is to me. But what an even greater blessing it is to wake up each day knowing joyfully that you are saved for eternity and have that knowledge confirmed by the fact that you are seeing the qualities of 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, growing in your heart and life. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, that agape love. Are you consciously nurturing these qualities in your heart and life? If not, you will sooner or later become spiritually myopic and be incapable of living for the Lord and serving Him effectively. Make it a priority to think about this and make sure you're consciously nurturing these qualities by spending time in prayer, reading His Word, and taking every opportunity to be in church to grow in Christ. I hope that when we sing hymns like we just sang, "The Light of the World is Jesus" and "Amazing Grace," that it will truly mean something to you, and you will remember the physical blindness and myopia that is an illustration of spiritual blindness. May we nurture these qualities in 2 Peter 1 so that we can be truly effective for the Lord and have joy, just like the joy I had when I first opened my eyes and saw my bedroom in focus. Wow. We can have a greater joy spiritually when we're walking with the Lord and that these qualities are being nurtured in our lives.